Okay, turn your Bible with me to 1 Kings chapter 14. Okay, let's do this. Bible index, now we're going for more. Genesis, Exodus, and what?
Numbers.
Deuteronomy. Joshua. Judges. Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, and Ezra, and Nehemiah, and what? Esther, Job, Psalm, Proverbs. Okay, this is what we did last week, right? So we're going for the 21 to 30th. Remember that? Now you ready? Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah. Think this way. Jeremiah wrote the two books. Yeah, Jeremiah wrote the two books. Weeping Prophet, Jeremiah, and the Lamentation means crying. Lamentation, and then Ezekiel, and prophecy, so we've got to have something else to go with it. Daniel, and Hosea, Joel, Amos. Okay? Those 30 books. We're going to do this again, Sunday morning, and after that, from 31st book all the way to 39th book, I know that's a little minor prophets, but they're not really minor guys. They're good guys. They're good prophets. It's confusing from the, especially from 31st books. They were in the minor leagues. The farm teams. Okay, let's go to the chapter 14. We tried to cover chapters 14, 15, 16, but we are not going to actually touch the 16 because it's a bunch of backings, so we're not going to go there. Starting at the chapter 14, tonight's title is The Perfect Heart. Yeah, today is a Valentine's Day, husband. In case you forgot that it is Valentine's Day, it's going to be a long, cold night outside. Yeah. And also, it's going to be 31 degrees, they said, and a possibility of rain. So if you get to stay outside, please do bundle up. Wherever you go nowadays, you can see the little red hearts or big hearts and Cupid with the bow and arrows. Much to the American greetings and Hallmark surprise, true love has nothing to do with the Cupid nor the big heart or the red heart. It has everything to do with God, and He's the only one who can show us true love for one another. True love for the mankind can be found in only God's heart, and even the followers of Jesus Christ, we don't have a perfect heart nor true love for one another. We can come close to us. Some of us learn more than other people. During the study of 1 Kings, I wasn't noticing more than ever before. Before, I was learning from somebody. This time, I'm studying to teach somebody else. So, as I'm getting into it, kind of depresses me because I'm finding this Kings of Judah and Israel continuously doing wrong things. The ramification of their behaviors is magnified throughout their dynasty and their reign. See, I don't think, let me backtrack. They were living in the time where the presence of God, it was more visible through vision and dream. And their voice of God was more audible through prophets. I don't think we should envy them because we have a presence of God. If you are believers of Jesus Christ, and you all are, you have a presence of Holy Spirit, the God, very presence of God in your heart. And we have a written format of the voice of God right here. So we should not envy them. As a matter of fact, we should feel privileged that we have this kind of things. From chapter 14 to chapter 16, we find 10 kings. Out of 10 kings of Israel and Judah, there was only one king, Asa, was obedient to God at the beginning. As I kind of put a little parenthesis at the beginning. Asa started well, even that good king started well, but at the end of his life, he became self-confident that he died with disobedience in his heart against God. In bigger scope, throughout the entire dynasty of the Israel, northern kingdom, it lasts about 250 years. There were 20 kings. Not a one of them was a good king. Not a one of them was a good king. Every single one of them was against God's word, and they were known as Samaria. Southern kingdom, by the way, the northern kingdom had 9 different dynasties and 20 kings. And one, you may say, what's the dynasty? What's different than kings? Well, if it reigns one king and his son and his grandkid, that's one dynasty, one kingship. But if somebody else take over, then another dynasty start there. Southern kingdom is one dynasty, the Davidic dynasty. Only the descendants of the King David stay there. There were 19 kings. Only 8 of them, there were 8 good kings, and the rest of them was horrible kings. It lasted about 350 years. At the end of 350 years, and at the end of 250 years in Northern Kingdom, they both end up in the exile in Babylon because they disobey God. So we start at the verse 1 of chapter 14, and we'll pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you to have a heart like Jesus, to be shaped and molded like Jesus, so that we may love you first, love one another. Your word says in 1 Corinthians, this Old Testament is written for the record, for as an example for us to learn. So let us learn from this bad kings, example of bad kings of Israel and Judah, that we may not make the same kind of sin. But when we see the good kings, let us learn from them how they loved you, how they followed you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1. At that time, Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, became sick. Note that what Abijah is different than Ahijah, who was the prophet. So we will visit Ahijah later. And Jeroboam said to his wife, "Please arise and disguise yourself." Note the word, disguise yourself. "That they may not recognize you as a wife of Jeroboam. Go to the Shiloh." Indeed, Ahijah, remember that he is the prophet who told Jeroboam, "This is what God told you. God is telling me to tell you. You're going to be the king of Israel." Ahijah the prophet is there, who told me that I would be the king, there he is, over this people. "Also take with you the 10 loaves and some cakes and a jar of honey, and go to him. He will tell you what will become of the child." And Jeroboam's wife did so. She rose, went to the Shiloh, and came to the house of Ahijah. But Ahijah could not see, for his eyes were glazed by reason of his age. Now the Lord had said to Ahijah, "Here is the wife of Jeroboam coming to ask you something about her son, for he is sick. Thus and thus you shall say to her. For it will be that when she come in, that she will pretend to be another woman." So it was, When Ahijah heard the sound of the hopeful step as she came through the door, he said, "Come in, wife of Jeroboam." I bet she was startled. "Why do you pretend to be another person? For I have been sent to you with the bad news. Go tell Jeroboam, thus says the Lord God of Israel, because I exalt you from among the people and made you ruler over my people Israel, and tore the kingdom away from the house of David, and gave it to you, and yet you have not been as my servant David, who kept my commandment and who followed me with all his heart, to do only what is right, what was right in my eyes. But you have done more evil than all who were before you." Note that word, please. "For you have gone and made for yourself another gods and molded the image to provoke me to anger, and have cast me behind your back. Therefore, then behold," excuse me, "I will bring the disaster on the house of Jeroboam, and will cut off from the Jeroboam every male in Israel, bond and free. I will take away the remnant of the house of the Jeroboam, as one takes away the refuse, take until it is all gone. Dogs shall eat whoever belongs to Jeroboam and died in the city, and birds of the air shall eat whoever died in the field, for the Lord has spoken. Arise, therefore, go to your own house. When your feet enter the city, child shall die, and all Israel shall mourn for him and bury him, for he is the only one of Jeroboam who shall come to the grave, because in him there is found something good toward the Lord God of Israel in the house of Jeroboam. Moreover, the Lord will raise up for himself a king over Israel who shall cut off the house of Jeroboam. This is the day." What? "Even now. For the Lord will strike the Israel as the reed is shaken in the water. He shall uproot Israel from this good land which he gave to their fathers, and will scatter them beyond the river, because they have made their wooden image and provoking the Lord to anger. And he will give Israel up because of the sins of Jeroboam, who sinned and made Israel sin." Then Jeroboam's wife arose and departed and came to Tirzah. When she came to the threshold of the house, the child died. And they buried him, and all Israel mourned for him, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke through his servant Ahijah the prophet. During this time, the prophet will often consult for the health reason. You can find that King Hezekiah was the same thing. He consulted with the prophet. Jeroboam thought that if his wife disguised herself to go to this prophet, Ahijah, nobody would notice. Can you imagine how foolish that comment is? If I disguise myself and the prophet does not know who I am, and what kind of wisdom am I going to get from the guy who does not know the difference whether who I am truly? So whom he's trying to fool? Let me put it this way. Whenever we are in sin, the only people we can fool are ourselves. Whenever we try to sin against God, only person whom we fool is ourselves. Somehow we think that nobody knows our sins. The prophet Ahijah could see more in his blindness than the Jeroboam and his wife could see with their gift of sight. Before she arrived, the Lord spoke to Ahijah the prophet. In the New Testament, this is known as word of knowledge. Yes, before he gave a prophecy, he knew who was coming in. When you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the list of the gift of the Holy Spirit is listed in chapter 12, as well as chapter 14. When in there, you will see the gift of the word of knowledge. As the Lord sees fit, He's dispatched this gift to the people whom He trusts to utilize the information to the people. Sometimes it's downright scary to the one who thought nobody knew. Is Shanxi hungry? Anyway, I'm going to give you a couple incidents. It's not something we have it all the time. Sometimes we don't have it. For example, I have the word of knowledge, and I knew the things before that somebody told me about somebody, that person, before that person came to talk to me. Another incident, our late friend, Randy Ritchie, he was a pastor up in Calvary, Tucson. Before he had the counseling done, I don't know if I share this with you or not, a couple was supposed to come in for the counseling. And they had the counseling before. According to them, they are not having sex before the marriage. And as they were about to come in, God spoke to him that they are having not only having sex, they even took a shower together before they came in. And he was thinking, how am I going to share this to them? What if I'm wrong? I'm going to make myself a fool. And as they said, God gave him courage. God gave him clear green light to share with them. You not only sleeping with each other, and you even took a shower before you came to the counseling session, and you are lying to God. And according to Randy, he said, you have to see their face. God can confront the people. Anyway, the word of knowledge will come to you when it's important, when it's necessary for you to know. No, whatever. Let's go to the Psalm 25, please. Psalm 25. Psalm 25, verse 14, please. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. Okay? Secret of the Lord can be revealed. Remember another time when Jesus came down with the two angels before He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And should I hide the things to my friend, to Abraham? Sometimes He revealed the things. Amos chapter 3. Where is Amos? Very good. Folks, you will be able to find the books a lot faster than before. Amos chapter 3, please. How many of you guys have been reading the Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? Good. Keep it up, please. Amos 3, 7. Surely the Lord God does nothing unless He reveals His secret to His servant, the prophets. Now, God gives the word of knowledge gift to the people whom He chooses to. There's three things that the prophet Ahijah said to Jeroboam's wife. He talked about the past, how God graciously opened the door for him to become a king. And also, Ahijah reminded Jeroboam's wife the sin that Jeroboam is committing, idol worship. And also, he is telling Jeroboam, his wife, all the male of Jeroboam's household will be killed, and they are not going to even have a decent burial other than this son, this child, and Jeroboam himself. Other than those two, everyone will be killed in the city and the field, and they're not going to even have a decent burial. That's quite a humiliation for the Jewish people. What a news to take it back to home, especially as a mother, knowing that as soon as she walked into the city, the her son will be dead. Now, will she believe this prophet's comment? Did she really think that that would happen, or she kind of ignored him? Oh, well, I'm going to give a report back to my husband. But it came to truth, and as she walked into the city, as she walked into the threshold of her home, the child died. Jeroboam could have a lasting dynasty. God promised that if you follow me, if you worship me, you will have a lasting dynasty. Yet he chose to do whatever he chose to do, and he worshipped some other god, idol, which is not God at all, and he ended up losing everything. In light of the election, upcoming election, I'm reminded of what Thomas Jefferson said in 1781. Indeed, this is what Thomas Jefferson said in 1781. Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, that his justice cannot sleep forever. Folks, I believe God's justice against America is about to be unleashed as it did against Israel. Don't you think? Huh? Yeah. Let's move to the verse 41. I'm sorry, 21. And the Rehoboam, son of the Solomon, this time we're talking about southern kingdom. The Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, is the king there. He reigned in Judah. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he became a king. He reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord has chosen out of all the tribe of Israel to put his name there. His mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonite. Don't know that tribe's name. Now the Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord. They provoked him to jealousy with their sins. Note the word, they provoked him with jealousy. With their sins which they committed more than all that their father had done. For they also built themselves high places, sacred pillars, and wooden images on every high hill under every green tree. And there were also perverted persons in the land. They did according to all the abomination of nations which the Lord has cast out before the children of Israel. It happened in the fifth year of King Rehoboam that Shishak, the king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem, and he took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He took away everything. He also took away all the gold shield which Solomon had made. Then King Rehoboam made a bronze shield in their place and committed them to the hands of the captains of the guard who guard the doorways of the king's house. And whenever the king entered the house of the Lord, the guards carried them, then brought them back into the guard's room. Now the rest of the acts of Rehoboam, all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? And there was a war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all their days. So the Rehoboam rested with their fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. His mother's name was Naamah, and Ammonitess. Then Abijam, his son, reigned in his place. Rehoboam's mother obviously is one of the thousand wives and concubines of Solomon, and whom she married with many pagan women. In the later years of King Solomon, as we study, remember he was worshipping these pagan idols because the marriage he committed. I don't think having a mother Ammonite and a father who walked away from God and worshiping pagan idol, I don't think Rehoboam had a good parental influence. For the 5 years he's been on throne, there were no, before his dynasty, his reign, King David and King Solomon did not have an enemy around them. Nobody could bother them because they were strong. Only he's been in the throne only 5 years. Now already Shishak, the king of Egypt, was threatening him. As a matter of fact, they invaded him all the way to the Jerusalem and took away many things. The reason why God allowed this kind of invasion to happen is that he went against God. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 5, "You shall not have any other God before me." Remember? And also it said, "You shall not bow down to them and nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, is jealous God." Would that only apply to the Old Testament people? Would that all apply to us too? Yes. This applies to us too. If we have anything other than God, whatever that takes priority in your life often is your God. Remember I said this on Sunday morning, and probably I will repeat it many more times. Anything that takes a priority over God is your God, your idol. And God will not put up with that kind of thing. Since the Israel and the churches, which are the spiritual Israel, and they are, it's the bride of the God, and when we follow something or someone other than him, he is jealous of us. And rightly so. Idolatry is a spiritual adultery. Worshipping any other God is committing spiritual adultery, the sin of spiritual adultery. In addition to that, idolatry and immorality goes hand in hand. These people, Israeli people, people in Judah, with under the direction of Rehoboam, they built the high places in which is an idolatrous shrine, and erecting the sacred stones and the shrine, male and female prostitute. When I say a male prostitute, it's not just, you know, male prostitute with a woman. Male prostitute with another man. In other words, it's homosexuality. Sodomite, which strictly forbidden by the Mosaic law. The Jewish people were no longer light to the Gentiles. But instead of darkness of Gentiles, it invaded the land and was putting out the light. Doesn't it sound like America? Hello, are you guys dead? Are you guys awake? You guys sound like a Sunday morning crowd. I said to Karen, if I teach to the dead corpse, I would have a better reaction than the Sunday morning crowd then. What's up with that? Before we pass the judgment on the kings and the people of Judah, perhaps we should better examine our own lives in the church. Survey indicate that when it comes to the sexual morality and old immorality, the born-again people in the church don't live much differently than unsaved people outside the church. The materialistic and humanistic concept of the unsaved world have invaded their way into the church, and they are both tolerated and even promoted. The Lord punished the Jeroboam for his sins. How long will it be before the Lord punished his church? And he cleansed the house, his house first, before he goes anywhere. What am I talking about, sexual immorality or sexual immorality? Adultery? Do you know there was I heard from somebody else, there were churches in Sarita, before we started church, there were churches and the deacons were doing wife swapping.
Yeah, they call them key parties. My niece went to one.
Key
parties? Yeah, she couldn't believe it. They walked up. And it was
Sarita,
and it was church people, deacons and elders and main people of the church in North Carolina. And they got invited and they thought, oh, good, you know, they started going to the church. Oh, good, we'll get, you know, established. And they went and they started having a rock around the bowl, and you'd pick a key, and then you'd go to that house and be with that man.
Adultery is not unusual. It happens. Spouse swap, it happens. And getting into pornographies, before you have to look around, before you go into the adult bookstore, now it's click, click, and you are in the pornography place, pornography website. Homosexuality. Was Ted Haggard? Wasn't he big senior pastor, a senior pastor of a big church in Denver? And he was involved with homosexuality? Did he ever preach against it? I'm sure he did. But behind the scene, he was committing very sin that he was against. Against the God whom he served. And the living together. This is a big one. When I have a situation to rebuke that, and I become the bad one. As short time as we've been in this church, in this town, I had to rebuke a couple out of the church. And I was known as too harsh. Am I too harsh, or am I doing what is right in the sight of God? Folks, people will justify their sin for any way they want. We will not bow down to that kind of pressure. Even if I have 10 people in our church, I will not bow down. Wrong is wrong, right is right. And somehow they think that, well, we should forgive them. Yeah, I will forgive them when first they ask if they repent. Amen. How can you forgive somebody when there's no repentance? God decided enough is enough, so he sent the Egyptian king to destroy and ravage this southern kingdom. Sheshak took away the gold shield that King Solomon made. You remember the big shield and the small shield? Round shield, that he spent about $33 million solid gold on those worthless shields that is nothing more than for the display. And he took away all of that. Now, look at this Rehoboam. Rehoboam chose to replace them with bronze shield. What's the purpose of spending that kind of money to replace gold shield? From the distance, against the reflection of the sunlight, what bronze shield look like? What? Gold shield. So in his leftover pride, I gotta hold up my kingship, my authority, my majesty. So he chose to do that. Instead of repenting in the presence of God, he chose to keep his pride up. Folks, remember what the Bible says. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, He will, what? Lift you up. If we don't humble ourselves, God will humble us. And that's not pretty sight. Been there, done that, bought the t-shirts, I don't want to go back there again. Folks, we must remember that God does not allow His people to sin successfully. We think that we're doing it in a secret and nobody knows. Jesus said, what's done in the inner room will be shattered from the rooftop. And somebody wise said this, what's done in the inner secret on earth is a scandal, open scandal in heaven. How true. Let's move to the verse 9 of chapter 15, please. Chapter 15, verse 9. Now we are going to learn about Asa, the southern kingdom king who had a godly heart in the beginning. In the 20th year of the Jeroboam, the king of Israel, Asa became king over Judah, and he reigned 41 years in Jerusalem. His grandmother's name was Machir, and the granddaughter of the Abishalom. This Abishalom also can be translated Absalom. Okay, some of it has a different translation. And when you look at it in the Second Chronicle, and you will find that it's Absalom. Asa did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and as did his father David. And he banished the perverted person, that's the temple prostitute, from the land, and removed all the idols that his fathers had made. Also, he removed Mechar, his grandmother, from being a queen mother, because she had made an obscene image of Asherah. And Asa cut down her obscene image and burned it by the Brook Kidron. Brook Kidron is on the east side of Jerusalem, right before the Mount Olive. But the high places are not removed. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was loyal to the Lord all his days. He also brought into the house of the Lord the things which his father had dedicated, and the things which he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and utensils. Now there was a war between Asa and Baasha, the king of Israel, all their days. Don't mix it with this Baasha and the grocery store. And Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah, that he might let no one go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa took all the silver and gold. Notice how it works. Verse 18. And Asa took all the silver and gold that was left in the treasury of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house and delivered them into God. Right? No. Delivered them into hands of his servant, and King Asa sent them to the Ben-Hadad, the son of Tibraman, and the son of the Hezion, the king of Syria, who dwelt in Damascus, saying, "Let there be the treaty between you and me, as there was between my father and your father. See, I have sent you the present of silver and gold. Come and break your treaty with Baasha, the king of Israel, so that he will withdraw from me." So the Ben-Hadad hid the king Asa and sent the captains of his army against the cities of Israel. He attacked Rejon and Dan and Abel and Beth Maker and the other, whatever that place, I forgot, I cannot pronounce, Gesentite, and all the land of Naphtali. Now it happened when Baasha heard it, he stopped building Ramah and remained in Tarsus. And the king Asa made a proclamation throughout all Judah, none was exempt. And they took away the stones and timbers of the Ramah, and which Baasha had used for building. And with them the king Asa built the Geba of the Benjamin and Mizpah, and all the rest of all the act of Asa, all his might, all that he did, and the cities which he built, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? But in his old age, he was diseased in his feet. So Asa rested with his father and was buried with the fathers in the city of David, his father. Then Jehoshaphat his son reigned in his place. You might want to jot down 2 Chronicles chapter 14 through 16, and you'll be able to see the parallel line of 1 Kings chapter 15 about the King Asa. You will find more detailed information. The reason is, it's not here. It's the 1 Kings and 2 Kings is written for Kingdom of Israel. 1 and 2 Chronicles is written for the Kingdom of Judah, and it's referring very small amount of the northern kingdom, as it refers a very little amount about the southern kingdom here in 1 and 2 Kings. Asa dealt severely in state-sanctioned idol worship here at the beginning, and a temple prostitute. He also removed his own grandmother from the position of a queen mother, because she's the one who had the image of Ashtoreth in a grove. Of course, Ashtoreth is the God of fertility, that means a lot of things to do with this sexual immorality. But when he had to fight against Baasha, the king of Israel, instead of coming to God, instead of asking God who treated him well, he did something terrible. He depends on the pagan king rather than God of Israel. Why did he do that all of a sudden? Because he becomes self-confident. He rather make the treaty, make a pact, make alliance with the pagan king than his own God. He thinks he could do it by himself. So what did he gain? Few towns around the border, like Ramah. But what did he lose? Now he's a servant to the Syrian king. Now his house, the temple of God is empty because he had to gather up all the gold and silver from the temple of God, and his king's house had to give it to the Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria. Esau showed us a tragedy of man who ruled well and sought the Lord for many years but failed a significant challenge of his faith and refused to hear God's word correction. Age and time do not necessarily make us better. You know, the excuse we have as we get old and then we have more white hairs on our temple and on our hair is white hair representing wisdom. Not really. I've seen many people who have the white hair and they act dumb. Age and time do not necessarily make us better, but they only do if we continue to follow God in faith. Folks, finishing well is more important than studying well. Bible is filled with the people who start with a great bang, but they end horribly. We just learned about one man, King Asa. He studied so well. At his young age, he demolished all these shrines, all this idol worship. And now, he was disobedient to God. When the prophet came to him and spoke against him from God, he tried to arrest that man. And he got disease on his feet. And he died with the disobedience. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, please. 1 Corinthians is where? Right after where? Romans. Right before? There we go. Wow. Pam is so smart. 9:24. First Corinthians 9:24. Remember that in a race everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. You also must run in such a way that you will win. We have to run the race all the way instead of quitting in the middle. Let's move on to the Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews between where? Philemon and James in Old Testament. Right? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. After 7th week, when I say that one book, you guys are going to say one before, one after, right? Good. We're going to have less people in our congregation. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by a so great crowd of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sins which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with the endurance. That's the emphasis. That's the endurance. The race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He finished well. Apostle Paul finished well. Apostle Peter, even though they were stumbling, he finished well. Apostle John finished well. And if the Lord tarries, God willing, and He is willing, we all are to finish well. There is no hidden secret or formula to finish well. Lord continues to tell us the simple truth, keeping eyes on Him who is the author and finisher. And He's the one who is standing at the finishing line, and He's encouraging us, keep at it. So we need to have that perfect heart like Jesus, stay in the course. One more verse. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. Matthew is before Mark, after Malachi. Very good. Yeah, only Italian author in the Bible. Therefore you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. We can have a perfect heart. We can strive for the perfect heart like Jesus. Can we have a completely perfect heart? No. But we can strive for it. Let's make an application. Number one, we must remember that God does not allow His people to sin successfully. God will stop it. It's better for us to stop it than He make us to stop it. Haven't you heard? It's better for us to go break on the rock than rock breaks us. Of course, that rock is Jesus Christ. Second application, age and time do not necessarily make us better. They only do if we continue to follow God in faith. Third application, finishing well is more important than starting well. Anybody can start well. And if you think that you are a person who starts well, not finish well, probably you can think about the few projects in the garage that you didn't finish. Let's finish well. And stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Word. Let Your Word echo in our heart throughout the week and remain the week and the remainder of our lives, that we may finish well. And remind us to keep our eyes on the Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher, who endured all things because He saw that we may have eternal life through Him. He endured the cross. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.